Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Our next guests are both longtime friends of the show. One is the Jersey-born comedian who you know from everything from terrorizing telemarketers to co-hosting the VH1 series, That Metal Show. The other is the Michigan-born bassist for the band Pop Evil, who shares our love of guns and flamethrowers. And tonight, you can see them both live on stage at the Truman. Please welcome, longtime friends of the show, comedian Don Jameson, and Pop Evil bassist Matt DeRito.
Let me just say this right now. You look like you're on a rock and roll tour, Don Jameson.
Yeah, I do.
And Matt looks like he already got up and ran 3 or 4 miles, had himself a smoothie, lifted a bunch of weights, and then wrote a new goddamn hit song.
He looks like he just deep conditioned his hair.
Doesn't he? Every time, man. It's so crazy. Like, as soon as you look at it, it's like, oh, yeah, I know. And you look great, but you just look like a guy who was on a tour bus for how many dates?
And this is your fault, my friend.
Oh, I don't blame me.
You started this.
How did I start this?
You started this mess.
How did I start this mess?
You're the matchmaker, brother.
Oh, my. Oh, how did that happen?
We're bringing this full circle, man. It started right here on this show. I was out doing my gigs around Rockfest 2016.
That's right. And that's how you guys got to be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. You know what? Let's just talk about Matt like he's not even here.
Yeah.
I can leave. Anyone need a refill on coffee?
We all get to that place where like, man, I hope I can be friends with Matt DeRito because he's so cool all the time. Likes guns, likes motorcycles, does cool stuff, always nice to people and children.
Absolutely. It's a bromance.
It is. It's like a big brodeo going on.
It's pretty bromantic.
It is. Yeah. You can't hear us.
No, but you he was on the phone. We were breaking his nuts. Yep. And then went out to Rockfest, and we started hanging out and talking, and next thing you know, I am on tour with him.
He's a brother, man. He's a brother.
So big time. Right.
How's it been? I mean, you've done tours before. You've been out. You've been with people. But is this the longest you've ever been out?
No, not the longest, but this tour is next level, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're playing super cool places.
The Truman tonight.
That's right. And yeah, we've just been crisscrossing America and just, dude, it's too much fun.
Well, and you know, Matt, he and I, same thing. I grew up a weird little metal kids without a discernible musical, you know, type talent. So the dream to get on a tour bus with a band you love and watch rock and roll every night is like, I mean, that's getting to heaven early, man.
You know, it's pretty awesome. I think we've all decided we need to pitch in and keep him on the road with us because, like, adds a great dynamic to the bus, too.
Man, dude, he's funny. He's always nice.
Yeah, funny. And nice.
No, I've never seen you get sideways with anybody.
No, and my vegetarian farts are very mild.
Oh,
so, you know,
that's nice.
That mixes in.
Succotash.
That's right. I got you across the hall, and I got Haley underneath me with hers, you know, rising up.
Uh-huh. Oh, my.
Yeah,
because I guess at some point, the magic, you have to be gone. Your drummer is a girl, beautiful, but you're still on a tour bus, and you're in close quarters, so at some point, she had to release the beast.
Indeed.
There's going to be some odors, yeah.
That prevents any intermingling romantically, for sure.
Oh, yeah,
like
absolutely.
That's, once you hit that level of friendship, like, no. There's nothing. She could be naked in front of you, begging you to kiss her, and you're like, no,
and
I smelled what came out of your butt.
I know what's happening.
And that's it.
Yeah. And our merch guy has night terrors. So that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Come on.
No, please, God, no.
Oh, stop screaming, Uncle Steve.
Like the third night of the tour, like 4 a.m, you just hear the screaming, and it was great. Not one person peeked out of their bunk. We just all laid there and went, I hope this takes care of itself.
He'll figure it out.
You had no idea prior to this?
No.
Did you know?
I didn't know.
So nobody.
I never knew the guy.
And nobody got up to say, hey, are you okay?
No. Nope. Figured if you needed help, he'd ask.
Like the tour manager will take care of this.
Did you get him a little teddy bear and put it in his bunk then? Like, next time you want to scream, shove this in your mouth.
You know, the tour is not over yet.
Yeah, right.
It's not a half bad idea. Between that and people falling out of their bunks.
Yeah.
Oh, oh man. Is that a thing?
It, yeah, I mean, normally you don't see a lot of it, but I think what happens a lot of times is you're on the third, and you forget you're on the third. You know, like a little kid, I rolled out of my bunk bed, but I thought I was stepping onto the floor. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Their drum tech fell out of the top bunk the other day.
Did he break anything?
He hit his head pretty hard and kind of messed up his hand, but he's like really accident prone. His nickname is Ninja, and so we call those ninjuries. So I got another ninjury today.
Oh, the mercy that is shown on a rock band.
Yeah. Mm.
I've seen it all. I had to pull my curtain quickly back. A guy named Virgil, who was dear friends of all the guys in Jackal. I went on the bus with him, and in the middle of the night, I hear water hitting the floor, and I was like, uh-oh, I know what this is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Virgil was just dead-ass asleep, peeing in the middle of the thing. I was just like, geez, and he unloaded.
Wow.
Yeah, he had no idea what
If you
was.
Haven't done that, then you've never toured.
That's it. That's it, man. Yeah. Or just, who was I talking to? I was reading the book, The Dirt.
Yeah.
They're talking about that. They'd be doing interviews in the morning just peeing on the carpet because it wouldn't make any sound. That way they could keep talking on the phone.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's a tour. Tours is a different world altogether. Everybody thinks it's all just... You know, every night just more naked chicks and drugs and partying, which is sometimes it happens. But most likely it's just a never-ending ball-busting session between nine guys.
Yeah, that and, you know, a quality game of chess here and there.
Really?
Oh, sometimes it gets wild. We have two games of chess after the show.
Who's the chess master?
Please.
I know.
Mr. Perfect over here.
You know it is.
No,
Mr. Perfection. He figured out how to master Rubik's Cube in like a 24-hour period.
Yeah. He does one in each hand separately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has me mix up one behind my back, and he mixes up another one, and he mixes it up the same way.
Sure.
He's a savant, this guy.
When you give up drinking, you got to find other things to do with your time. And, you know, brain games, chess, Rubik's Cube, all that.
We have been playing chess, though.
Yeah.
That's been cool.
I knew that when I was a kid. I was thinking about that not that long ago. Somebody's going to have to reintroduce me to everything. Because I could play as a kid, but I haven't done it in 20 years.
I got a board on the bus.
Yeah.
We bamboozled the opening bands for, you know, out of their, like, daily buyouts.
Yeah.
You chess bet them? You're chess betting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it's hard out there on the streets.
Yeah.
It's some kind of ridiculous new gambling that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah. We're trying to come up with, like, this weird chess Rubik's Cube hybrid game where you have, like, a Rubik's Cube timer and you make your move and then you can try to solve the cube while the other person's making their move. And then you put yours down and they pick it up. And just totally nerding out.
What happened to cocaine,
people? I know. I'm so sorry.
Jesus Christ. What happened to six people talking at the same time and nobody listening?
Johnny's not mad. He's just disappointed.
No, dude. This is the beer and cheese tour.
That's right.
Yeah. It's, you know, drinking beer after the show and just mounds of cheese.
Well, listen, I mean, there's a reason Pop Evil is so good live. And that's because you guys take it genuinely seriously. And if you want to be great, consistently great, that's what it takes. It really is. And, I mean, you can't go up there half-cocked.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to do a scene out of Rockstar, but, you know.
You got to take care of your body, man.
You do. You know? And your head's got to be right.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I don't think I ever fully realized this the first 15 or 20 years of the career, that people really do, there's a certain change that goes over every great performer from the time they walk from the back of the stage to the front of the stage. And it's a weird ownership of that space, and it takes such a supreme confidence that some guys have to get hammered to do it. Mm-hmm. And other guys, is it scarier? Because you did it for years. Well, you would drink and party.
Yeah, both ways.
But when you do it sober that first time, was it freaking you out?
Oh, it was terrible. Yeah, you feel like you're completely exposed. Everyone's watching you. You know, it took a lot of time to figure out how to do a lot of things sober.
Sure.
But absolutely, performing was one of those. And before tour life, I never drank really. And so it was just a matter of getting back to that point, you know, figuring out how to do that all over again.
Dude, it's weird. Like when I first met Jesse, you know, he didn't drink the first 15 years of that Jackal career. Never a drop. Doesn't smoke, nothing. And you know, now he'll embrace the bottle, the bourbon, since he opened up the whiskey company. You know, you got to know what you're selling.
That's right.
But it never affects him. I did watch him go face down at Sturgis one time.
Yeah, but that's Sturgis.
Yeah.
They expect that.
Goldberg picked him up and threw him over his shoulder and had to walk off the stage with him. he held the whole thing together to the very end. And what happened was everybody, every wrestler you can think of, every musician was up on that full throttle stage, and everybody's passing the bottle, passing the bottle, passing the bottle, passing the bottle. And I could see it was going too far. And you heard him barely saying to Mike after last song, "I'm done." And he just goes, boom, headfirst in the stage. And you see Goldberg just walk out there and effortlessly go, shunk over the shoulder, And by the time I got to the backstage room where they were all there, Jesse's on the floor, and poor Jesse, Goldberg's hammered too. He's laying on top of Jesse, but he's whispering in his ear. He's like, son, you just got to push through this, man. When I was playing for the Atlantic Falcons, and we were up on the line, we were down by seven. And we're like, God damn it, Goldberg, get off. You're killing him. Get off him, man. Yeah, it's it gets weird out there sometimes,
that's
man.
Awesome.
That was the night we kept Goldberg putting his chaps on backwards and climbing on his motorcycle.
Wow.
Yeah, that was freaking. Like, you got to leave these here tonight, man. This motorcycle has to stay here.
That was fun running into you and LJ at Sturgis this summer. Yeah. That was cool. Walking a full throttle, who's sitting at the bar. There he is, Darren LeJean.
It's the best. It's just being part of this whole world is great. And that's why I love seeing you out on the road with these guys, because I know how much you love it, you know? Because, again, we grew up the same way, man, just listening to metal records and maybe not the most popular kids in the school just because we were, you know, you're the metalhead kids.
No dates.
No.
Same. Same, yeah.
Exactly. Shut it.
No, true
nobody,
story.
Nobody here believes you, Matt Garrido.
His hair wasn't as fluffy back then.
I got pictures, man.
I sometimes use you as an example. If a girl's talking about how good-looking a certain a celebrity is, I just did this in Curacao to my friend Sonia. I used to be married to my friend George, and I go, no, not that good-looking. She's like, he's gorgeous. And I go, let me show you this. And I literally pulled your picture. I go, that, and she was like, oh, he's so dirty. That was like literally what she said. I was like, and I was like, I think I get what you mean.
Hard to be first class when you're white trash.
Oh, my friend, dirty Jesus. You're the dirty Jesus. And she was, I'm telling
dirty
you,
Jesus.
She literally took my phone and scrolled through no less than 40 pictures.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so I don't believe you. Girls didn't like you.
I'm just going to hang out here for a confidence boost every morning, man, and come in. Johnny, get me going on a good foot today.
Nick, you want to field this one?
No, I'm here because you are a fine man and I'm sure a wonderful Christian.
I've caught her perusing the photographs before.
Something
that's
like that.
Research, when you need to know what someone looks like when they enter the building.
That's right.
And what do you do right after you look at the pictures?
Some research.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Research?
Yeah.
Mom, leave me alone. I'm in the bathroom researching.
I'm researching.
We're out of hot water, Mom. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So if you're just doing a show, of course, I'm Matt from Pop Evil's in here, and Jameson's out on the road. You're opening the show.
Yeah. Well, we have a great opening band called Them Evils.
Okay.
So get there to see these guys. Trio, three guys, handsome guys, young.
Now I'm getting horny.
All right, Kevin Spacey, relax. And then I do my thing, and then right after me, Pop Evil hits the stage, and
nice,
it's been great, man. We're having so much fun on the road.
Truman tonight. Yeah. Is it sold out yet?
I don't know. I don't think that it is sold out.
It will be now.
It always sells out, man. Because I told him, the last time you were here, I think KU was going to a championship, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
It's such a huge deal. And I was like, hey, man, just so you know, like, if it doesn't go clean tonight, don't feel bad, because in this city, it's, you know, KU, Lawrence is just up the road. It's a huge deal. Every bar will have it on.
Yeah.
It's gone clean. I was like, and I'm stupid.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was wonderful to be wrong. It was wonderful to be wrong that night, man. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was either that or it might have been a World Series game.
It was KU.
I don't like the sport so much.
Just because you're so close to Sprint Center.
So what are you doing now? It's because you're always building motorcycles. You're always out shooting. You're out building new guns. You just did something with a new gun. You did something we were talking about.
Yeah, the one for Rick Nielsen.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
That's still in the works, and got some couple little top secret things I'm doing to that gun to surprise him with. But for the most part, as you know, the guy's got custom checker print. Everything.
Right.
Yeah, after being on the road with him all last summer, it's like, we found out that he found out that I was a gun guy and likewise. And so he's showing me all these pictures of, you know, his collection. And I got to thinking, I'm like, man, there's nothing that really stands out in this. This guy's got like a custom checker print, you know, crown in his mouth and everything.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, he's it's iconic.
Yeah, exactly. So I talked to him and I was like, man, you know, I build guns like in investment grade, you know, like heirloom items, and let me build you a gun, man. You need something that's custom. Everything else in your life is custom, and it's something you can pass down through generations and all that kind of stuff too. So it's going to be a really cool build.
Are you going to what do they call that? The hydro press? Get some checkered film and then that push it through the emulsion?
No, I do like that process, like the hydro dip stuff.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. But man, I'm going to machine it all. So
crazy.
I've got some sample pieces that I showed them already of like different finishes and how many rows of checkers we can do where it's all machined out, and then we do like a black nitride and then surface grind it, bead blast it, so it's got that really good
Nice.
Black and white contrast.
Anybody yeah, else? I'm going to do that too. Yeah. Now, me too. Right?
It hit me. He's like the Tom Brady of rock. Yeah. No, there's nothing he can't do.
And then we'll go on to the next subject. So he built any custom motorcycles this year?
Yeah. You know,
nothing. Nothing you can't do.
Nothing
you
I mean, yeah. No, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm a master at any of this stuff.
No, but what you build, I like what you build.
Yeah, it suits me. It's fun. It keeps my brain working. And that's really the biggest thing is, you know, finding a creative outlet, working with my hands and keeping my brain moving.
Well, that's it.
And deflating his balls. That's what he's good at.
Oh, I just took care of that.
Yes, he did
a couple days ago.
I know. Yeah, I watched.
The old girl out.
That's when I peeked out of my bunk finally. The night terrors, who cares?
So who? Yeah, if your girl comes out of the road, I've slept in those bunks.
Yeah,
would you just take this? Whoever's girlfriend, you guys take the back room.
No, we just double up and
kind of feng shui effing. Are you doing in there?
It's
those things are like that's a snug little coffin in there.
Kama Sutra, baby.
Yeah,
no joke. The day before she came out, I got in there with a screwdriver and took the TV out of the ceiling. This thing is just gonna get in the way.
Those you don't know, there's a little flat screen that flips down inside those things. And there's normally a little DVD player too.
It's gotta go.
Yeah, you don't need the Mac logo imprinted on her ass.
So it's it's just so much fun to always catch up because you guys, man, the band is doing great. You guys are out on tour for how long? How long are you guys going to be out?
We've been out for about a month, and we've got two more shows left here in the States. And Don flies home, and we fly over to Europe.
Why are you not going to Europe?
I know.
That's what I said.
We didn't know we were going to love each other so much like this.
That's true. But yeah. When's the last time you went to Europe? Have you been with a band? Have you toured with comedy over there?
Yeah, I did the UK
okay.
with the Black Star Riders. Did Ireland and Scotland, which is cool, man.
I love it over
especially
there.
I got the last name Jameson. That's half the battle.
Right?
In Ireland and Scotland. Now
you're already friends with everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you get your buddy Bushmills to go with you, you're going to have golden, man.
But I'd love to go with these. We're going to definitely do some more touring, man. It's just too much fun.
See what
fun.
I'm doing for you right now, by the way?
I see. I hear it. I hear it.
That's how we
10%,
do this.
10%, bro.
God love you.
No worries.
We got to get to golf here in a minute. We'll get to that. Henry Rollins is on the show today. Are you a big Henry fan?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got time to hang?
Yeah.
I've got nothing but time.
All right. I'm not a big sports guy. You guys catch up with everything on the road?
We've been doing some sporting stuff. We went to a hockey game.
Oh, nice.
To a Flyers game.
Oh, I lost $500 on the Chiefs in the playoff game.
Oh, nice.
So that was fun.
So you do sport?
Yeah. No.
We're gonna take your money.
I'm very bad at sports ball.
Come play chess on the bus. We'll take the rest of your money.
You know what? I would actually feel more at home trying to learn that than I will if you were like, let's go throw the ball around. I'm like, this is gonna go just like high school. You shove me in a locker.
You throw it. I'll hit it with the flamethrower.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see the new one.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I keep the hearing you got a new one. Yeah.
The new one will dump 3 gallons of gas in 6 seconds. The old one was 41 seconds to dump. Then that's a huge shot. This thing, and I have napalm. I have a fuel thickener.
We're worried about you.
That's amazing.
Oh, no. I've seen him do it. No. I got a big brush pile right now, currently, too. We could probably make time today.
It's probably the perfect time of year for it, too. You're not gonna. You don't have to worry about burning anything else down.
It's going to snow. What could be more beautiful than Matt Dorito in the snow with a flamethrower, the snow falling lightly, and then he burns it all to the ground.
Slower.
Mm. Naked.
Hair flowing in the wind. Mm. Not a big breeze. A light breeze.
Calm down, fondue.
Set the tone.
We're in the studio with us, Don Jamison. Mr. Matt Dorito is also bass player for Pop Evil. They're at the Truman tonight. And there's some tickets available for that.
A couple.
It's going to be a good night. And if you've never seen Pop Evil, if you love the albums, you love the way the songs sound, you haven't seen where they really shine. That's live. No doubt about it.
Yeah, that's where it all comes out, man. Yeah.
I mean, that's how we all became fans. I remember somebody carried us out to see you guys. You ended up in the tent out at the 20th anniversary? Was it what we doing out there? It was Throttle Fest.
Throttle Fest,
it was
yeah.
Throttle Fest, that's right. And Bob and I walked over, and you and I have talked about this, but I saw Lee walk off the stage onto the people's hands.
Yeah.
And it was inside that tent. The tent was just packed, and the band is hammering. And it was a low stage, so he literally had to get up and get on top of them. And we were just our mouths were open, and that was instant. It was rock fest.
It was just
on.
Pure chaos. Yeah. Yeah, where the energy on stage and in the crowd just intertwines and mixes with each other, and it's just utter chaos.
It's impossible. I still can't explain that to people when you see a great band and the crowd mesh up perfectly. And I've only seen it perfect like a handful of times over the years. It's always fun. Yeah. Like, I've seen like Volbeat do it. I've seen Metallica do it. I've seen you guys do it.
And that's the high that you're always chasing, too. You know, I mean, like, even as a band, like, we do hundreds of shows every year. And you know, there will be a handful that stick out that are like that. It's not always like that every night.
Because you can get, you get 80% of them, right? 90% of them. And the other guys are having a good time, but they're not in the trance.
Right, exactly. Mm.
And it is rare to see that, man.
It's a perfect storm.
That's where you guys absolutely shine. Now, how is it with, I say new drummer, but Haley's not really a new drummer anymore.
She's coming up on 3 years, I think.
Oof.
Yeah. Oh, she's amazing, dude. She just crushes. Like, we went from, you know, Chachi, our previous drummer, which I love Chachi.
He's a wonderful guy. Yep.
Adore him, man. He's a great showman.
If only he could get in shape.
Yeah. Right. Lift a weight or something. Yeah. Come on, man.
Jesus Christ. Don't ever look at his Instagram, Don. It's a soul crusher.
I was doing research on it the other day. Nikki and I together, yeah.
Yeah. He was a showman. She's a musician.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But who puts on a good show.
Sure. We had a day off in the French Quarter, man. So we all went down there in New Orleans.
Oh, my.
We wandered into a bar literally called Huge Ass Beers. That was the name of the bar.
That's great.
And in the back of the bar was a blues trio, like full on New Orleans.
Old school, yeah.
Yeah, like, and they were amazing. And they kind of sussed out there might be some musicians like hanging, watching. Mm-hmm. So they were like, she said, I'm the drummer of this band. And just go, what's your name? I said, Haley. Haley, come on up here and play some blues with us.
And?
She went up and she killed it, man.
It's not easy. I mean, that's a different style altogether.
But no problem.
Oh, that's great.
Went up and they're like, Haley, come back anytime and play with us.
Bunch of old timers looking back over their shoulder like, am I really hearing this?
Right? Is this the little British girl doing this?
Well, because she is beautiful and she's petite and she's, you know, you just, again, it's a terrible thing to say, but you don't expect, just, you don't often see that.
Yeah. She's one of my favorite. She's such a hard hitter.
Yeah. Well, she's like Lizzie from Hailstorm. Eventually, you're going to get past the fact that she's a female. You just go, no, that's a great musician. And that's just the bonus is she's prettier than us.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So, when we were looking for drummers, when we were auditioning people, you know, she was the right drummer for the job. Not the right, you know, not the right girl for the job or this or that or anything. It was like she was the best fit.
Yeah.
And it's hard for girls, man. I mean, like, you know, when Lizzie first came out in Hailstorm, it was, oh, here we go. You know, you just think, oh, look at this pretty girl. Isn't she nice? I wonder who writes their songs for them. And you realize that girl whipped your ass all night long. Like, she's one of the great songwriters, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm super proud of those guys as well.
You were on that early, dude. You turned me and Florentine on to them.
Oh, dude, they were kids in an RV, and their mom and dad were driving it. And they pulled up, and they were playing the second stage at Rockfest. And Bob was like, hey, so you've heard this, but meet them. And I'm like, are they old enough? Can we even talk to them? Like, am I old or are you? Like, I mean, RJ was like, he might have been 16 or 17.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
super young.
You know, and she comes, she's just as beautiful as can be. But, I mean, you just, in my head, you're thinking, who would allow this girl to go out with a bunch of horrible people in the rock and roll world?
Just keep her away from R. Kelly.
Yeah, right? and then you learn down the road, you're like, she can handle this. She'll be just fine. Like, she's a strong one, man. You guys, Rollins fans?
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
I'm a huge Flag and, you know, Rollins band and everything.
Yeah. I go up on stage, I do my little jokes or whatever, you know. He goes up for 2 hours and tells stories, and like, he's really, like, he mastered it, man.
Well, it's always been him. We'd go see him at this little punk rock club, and in between whatever he was saying, you paid attention to, because it wasn't blather, you know.
Hmm.
It wasn't, you know, just, it wasn't crowd pop. It was, he really had something to say.
Yeah.
And as a kid growing up in that world, like the books like Body Bag and Art to Choke Hearts and just Black Coffee Blues. I mean, he's an angry boy. Mm-hmm. And now he's an angry older guy, but always smart, man. He's on the show. We're going to talk to him about his new Keep Talking Pal. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, all the digital platforms. We'll get him on and we got some tickets for the Pop Evil show too. You're going to hang?
Awesome. Yep. Yeah. I'm
we'll
going
to hang for a while.
You got to go to sleep.
I'll nap later, don't worry.
In the studio with us.
Our next guests are both longtime friends of the show. One is the Jersey-born comedian who you know from everything from terrorizing telemarketers to co-hosting the VH1 series, That Metal Show. The other is the Michigan-born bassist for the band Pop Evil, who shares our love of guns and flamethrowers. And tonight, you can see them both live on stage at the Truman.
Please welcome longtime friends of the show, comedian Don Jameson and Pop Evil bassist Mad Dorito.
Mad Dorito. You want Mad Dorito? Hard times, man. Hard times. We don't get the money to take comedians with us wherever we go.
Well, listen, we're going to need your flamethrower tonight with this snow, man. We got a flamethrower path to the Truman so everybody can get to the show.
Well, listen, everybody will get to the show. There's no bad weather. We live in Kansas City. Yeah. It snows here. You know, it's not like it's raining in California where everybody falls down.
Did you just turn down an opportunity to use the flamethrower?
No. We're doing that this afternoon. Okay. No, we're doing that. We got that this afternoon. I got some other stuff to show you as well.
Awesome.
Any interesting new guns or are you only shooting guns that you've built now?
You know, it's kind of gone that route. Like I'm doing a lot more on the manufacturing side and I haven't really bought anything new. I've just been kind of working on the ones that I have. And, you know, it's kind of getting into the mentality of like, these are my main guns. These are what I use day in and day out.
Sure.
And trying not to like defamiliarize myself with those.
No, because once you have I had a Ruger P90 gritty trigger, terrible. I mean, I shouldn't say terrible. It's a fine gun, but it's a low end gun. You know, 45, and it's just a loose gun.
It's not fun to shoot.
But that was the only one I had. So over years of really going out and shooting range 50, 100, 250 at a time, that you know the gun.
Yep.
Like I'm more accurate with that old gun than I am with a brand new gun.
It's like anything. I mean, it's like driving your car every single day and then jumping in a rental car.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I gotta take a minute to get used to this. But
have you got this guy? Have you been shooting yet?
No, we haven't gone, but I should go shooting once in a while.
Because I'm not a gun nut. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a giant.
You're not a gun nut. You're like
a gun nut.
You're a month away from having nuclear weapons in your house.
That's true. But I guess
Donald Trump's already requested a peace treaty with you.
Yeah, right. But I'm not one of those guys. Like, I'm not going to shoot anybody. I don't want to shoot. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
I'm not that guy. I like it because it's loud and it's like blowing stuff up.
Yep.
It's just fun to do.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
You're 13.
That's it.
Good.
Like a Kel-Tec KSG. That's 41 1-inch slugs.
The Kel-Tec shotgun.
Got that one at the house now.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Awesome.
You know, mine took some filing when I first got it. It was really hard to chamber and
yeah.
You know, it's like Kel-Tec, I think, comes out with like very innovative ideas, but their execution isn't always great. So.
Right.
Everything I've gotten from them, I have to file down a little bit, and it takes a little bit of wearing in.
What title do you get after you become like a master armorer? Is that the term?
Yeah, I suppose
it's got to
so.
Be a designation. Like when you become an incredible builder, like you can do it all.
I don't know, man. I just I've got a machining background, so I do a lot of stuff in that world, and as far as like. Being an armor, like I've never done any formal classes or anything like that. I just work around a lot of great guys that know what they're doing.
Tom Brady.
It really pisses me off a lot. It is Tom Brady.
Dude,
it is Tom Brady.
No, man.
Not the dick side of Tom Brady. Like the just naturally good at everything, Tom Brady.
No, you know what it is? It's obsession. It's obsession and addiction. You know, I went from one addiction to the next, and it's like I catch on to this thing and I want to learn as much as I can about it.
Absolutely. Like I get it.
Learning's so stupid. Dumb.
That you know what, Don Jameson, if you don't call your next special that.
Learning is stupid.
Learning is stupid. I'll tell you one of my favorite guys, and we talked about it earlier, is that we all grew up with Black Flag. We all grew up with Rollins Band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, books like Body Bag and Artichoke Hearts and Black Coffee Blues really did shape the way I felt like it was like somebody was speaking to you. Because, you know, I loved metal and I loved AC/DC, and I loved, you know, all of that. But there was another angry side, you didn't know how to always say it. You didn't know how to put it all into words. And Henry, definitely check that out.
Born February 12th in Washington, D.C. The world first met him when, in 1981, he went from being a server at a Häagen-Dazs ice cream store to being lead vocalist for influential punk rock legends, Black Flag. He went on to a career that would find him releasing numerous albums under the Rollins Band banner, authoring numerous books, sell out halls across the United States as a spoken word artist, as well as acting in such films as The Chase and Heat, as well as on the long-running series Sons of Anarchy. And now he has an all-new special, titled Keep Talking Pal, available on iTunes, Amazon, On Demand and other digital platforms. Please welcome the great Henry Rollins.
We're gonna have a TV party tonight. All right! We're gonna have a TV party, all right! Tonight!
you been, brother?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
Nice to have you back on the show. Congratulations on your new special, Keep Talking, Pal.
Oh, thank you, man.
Let me make some introductions. Don Jameson, comedian friend of ours, is in the studio, as is Matt Dorito from the band Pop Evil.
Oh, great.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
Is today your birthday, Henry?
No, it's 13th.
Ah, 13th? Very, look at you.
I listened to the produced open. The show's almost over already.
Henry, I was trying to tell these guys about the outhouse, the old punk rock club that I'd go watch you in. And you remember the cinder block building in the middle of the cornfield?
Yeah, that was one of the cooler venues I've ever been in. I've done a lot of shows, but that was a lot of bands like that place.
Oh, yeah. No, we ran across Ice-T, and he that's what he wanted to talk about. And they finally did shoot a documentary about it, and it's out there somewhere on the internet. And I'm sure that you're very heavily in all over it. But I remember seeing you and Ian McKay.
They interviewed me for that a few years ago. I forget exactly where.
Yeah, and it's... But I don't want to be the old guy, but there's something missing in rock and roll today. That barren, bare bones, one light bulb over the stage... Barely made it to the venue, just packed full of sweaty kids who just are finding a way to release some energy, man. And it was a special time.
Yeah. I mean, you can find those places here and there. You know, it's like an independent record store. They're around, just not as round as much as they used to be.
Yeah, yeah. It's
things change, so.
And so, listen, the new one, Keep Talking, Pal. What are you covering in this? Because I feel like... There's a lot in the world, but, you know, I've followed you throughout the years, the spoken word tours, the books, everything you've done. What's got your focus these days?
Well, last year I was in the middle of a lot of stuff, and the agent at CAA said, we can get you a Showtime special. Just like he could just walk down and just go pick one up from the store. I said, yeah, sure you can. He said, no, we can do that. He was very confident. And so I had a one-hour stage time at a festival in Northern California. I think the Faraway Lands Festival, one of those. And he said, we're going to fly a Showtime rep up there. He's going to see you, he's going to dig it, and he's going to give you a Showtime special. All of that came true, much to my surprise. And so we booked two shows at a place that, you know, shoots well on camera up in Portland. And so the crew didn't have to fly too far out of Los Angeles. And I did two shows, very short, short for me, like hour long, and they just kind of put it on TV, and it was some more like the more of the comedic material that I was doing on that particular tour, because I don't relegate myself to just being a comedian in that's a real tough bar for me, in that I can't be funny all the time. That's a discipline I admire. I just can't be dependent on to do it. That's why I've never called myself a comedian. But I do get a laugh now and then. So I took that material from the tour and just kind of basically did that and left out all the stuff that was kind of a more reportage. I travel pretty far and wide, and there's nothing funny that I saw when I was in North Korea. You know, I just saw a lot of hunger and a lot of sadness. So I didn't put that story on stage. Just put more of the funner, more, you know, funny stuff. And that seemed to pass for normal for Showtime. And suddenly I had a Showtime special that's now on all those other platforms. So that's how that happened. And it's not the first time I used to do specials on Comedy Central, and then for some reason that went away. And now this thing came up, so I did it.
Well, it's funny. I remember when you started to transition from the more underground world into the more, you know, out into it with books and appearances and ads and stuff. And you would take the money. That was always an explanation. You were always so honest about it. People were always terrified of being called a sellout. And you're like, what do you mean? I take the money from doing this ad. I use that money and I publish my own books, which is that's how you take over the system.
Yeah. And that's precisely was my strategy. And instead of selling out, I was kind of getting control. And the money I was making when I first started doing more like just mainstream stuff was, in my opinion, I was like sneaking into their machine and walking out with stuff. And I started a record company, I started a book company, and it was financed by all of that. Also, I kept my band going. And these are, you know, very cash-needy things at times. And so I've ended up in my life, doing a lot of, you know, movies and TV and a lot of, you know, voiceovers for like car companies and stuff. And so a lot of people said, well, you sold out. I'm like, well, actually, say what you want. I love the First Amendment, but I don't agree. I think I'm having a really good time. I come at everything from a minimum wage mindset because I left the minimum wage working world to go into music. And I've never really changed that much.
No.
You know, I drive a Mazda 6. I buy my own groceries. I kind of try and keep it real because the only thing that matters to me really is work.
Listen, I saw you on the first Lollapalooza, and I picked you up at a hotel in a 1989 Hyundai Excel, and you couldn't have been a more normal guy. And I mean, I was nervous, like, you know, like me, you know, never meet your heroes, man, they say, because it can go so bad, you know? And you're nothing but polite.
I'm a fan of so many people. You know, I have records. I go to, you know, I'm just a fan of people. And I've been lucky. I've not had, like, the bad meet your hero experience.
Right.
But I never would want to push it. You know, because they might be having a bad day, and that would be hard to play their records after they've told you to go screw yourself.
Yeah, whatever. It is. It really is. And you, but I think the greats are always great. That's the thing I found. And it doesn't matter if you're a musician, what you do for a living, who you are in this world. If you're a great human, the greats are always great. There's something about people who have empathy.
Yeah, I found, like, usually, and I've met, you know, a handful of, you know, your big rock stars, your big movie stars, whatever. I have found, almost down to a single person, the bigger they are, the cooler they are.
Yes.
And I think maybe they have their idiot face, maybe. But the reason they're still doing what they do and they're well known for what they do is they really love it and they mean it. And it's not about money or fame. It's about really, you know, getting that music going. Like, you know, Mick and Keith of the Rolling Stones, I don't think they're doing it for money. I don't think that's really the thing that drives them at this point. I think it's really they really want to go up there and do those songs. So in that way of looking at it, they might be kind of like one of the most sincere for real bands there is when you might cynically think the opposite.
Well, look, they're giving me the rap, Henry, but man, are you going to come through Kansas City anytime soon? I mean, I know you're never going to stop traveling and moving through the world and dropping.
2020 is my next tour, and it'll probably be the usual one I do, which is about 14 months, 20-some countries. And so 2019, I'm doing just traveling on my own, looking for material and working on a lot of book stuff at my company. So that's basically for this year. But I never leave the state of Kansas out. And so the next big tour, you guys are on it for sure.
Where do you go after this, by the way? When you're going on your own, when you're out looking for a new vision, where do you go?
This year, I want to get back down to South America and do some traveling on the Amazon. I'd like to get to New Guinea and maybe some countries in Central Africa, which are really kind of harder to get to, Republic of Congo, Chad. So I've been to Africa a lot, but it's just hard to get in, kind of into the dead center of it, just because travel is really tricky. So those are places I'm aiming for this year.
Do you travel by yourself, or do you take somebody with you?
Oh, no, I mostly travel on my own. Now and then I'll have to, I will be doing a TV show, so I'll have like a film crew. But mostly it's just me in a backpack. I just go across places like Central Asia or the Middle East, parts of Africa just by myself.
I find this, here's what I found, and I know we got to wrap, Jake, but when I go by myself for a couple weeks, no matter where, from Moscow to Vietnam, I see more, I hear more, I take much, much more in. I'm not talking to somebody, I'm not pointing something out.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the only way to do it for me. Also, in tricky situations, I'd rather be looking to get myself out of it, not me and you out of it.
Yes.
Because that's just another throat to get cut, so I'd rather be on my own when it gets tough.
Henry, I got to let you go because I do this all goddamn day, you know. I'm a huge fan. Thank you for everything over the years, from the music to the books to the spoken word, and I hope we cross paths again very, very soon.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
Take care, man.
Have a good one.
Take care, man.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
Take care, man.
You realize what you just did right now, right?
What?
Same thing you did with Matt and I. You connected us on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I smell Rollins, Jameson, Pop Evil Tour 2020. Anybody else in?
Yes.
Come on.
Dude, but he is one of those guys. Like, he is, he lives it well. Like, his life is well done, man. You know, and he is legend. I mean, he will never be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but he is absolutely Rock and Roll Hall of Fame material.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Maroon 5 will get in before him. That's the crime of it.
Yeah.
But I would. But he's the kind of guy, if I saw him walking barefoot through the Congo, I go, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then you realize Whitfield Crane standing over to the left. Yeah. You're like, what are you doing here, Whitfield? Oh, just following Henry around. I like him a lot. He's another one, man. Yeah. Whitfield is, and we've stayed dear friends since the first Ugly Kid Joe record. Mm-hmm. And when I was working at Z-Rock with Greg, we were just little AM 1030 radio station. And, you know, they were kids out of Southern California, but for whatever reason, they took a liking to us. I mean, I'm not good now. Think how terrible I was 27 years ago. But we've stayed in touch all this time. I mean, and he's a wanderer. That boy, I mean, he's always out walking about, you know, and his legendary friendship with Lemmy was incredible, man. He used to get on the bus and just ride, and I go, what are you doing out there? And he goes, I just want to listen to his stories. Yeah. And he would just sit up at night.
That's so cool.
And Lemmy would play these crazy old, like, rockabilly and doo-wop and all this stuff. And he goes, all this music he loved. And he would explain why he loved it and why it was a great record. And Whit's telling me these stories. And I'm like, oh, okay, now tell me this time you warmed up Black Sabbath and you spent all that time with Ozzy. And I'm like, and he's that guy who's been accepted by everybody. Not the biggest name in rock and roll. But I don't know of anybody in rock and roll who doesn't know his name.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever run across him?
No, I haven't.
I got to make that introduction. You'll love him. I mean, you'll love him. Best weirdo ever.
Yeah. I met him a few times. Yeah.
Best weirdo ever. We stayed cool up one guy. Night doing a ton of drugs back when he was, it was on, right? And when I left at 5 in the morning, there was more girls in the room. He was standing on a bed pontificating with a mirror in his hand. And as I was walking into him, he goes, you have any money? And I go, yeah, here's $300. That's all I got. This is years go by. I don't see him. Ugly Kid Joe breaks up at the time. I'm out on a motorcycle run. I get a call from my buddy Jack, who works here. Life of Agony is playing at Sandstone. He was the singer for Life of Agony for a while. And he walked up, and this is like 8 years later. We haven't seen each other. And this is before cell phones got that strong as they are now. And he just walked to me and goes, you know Johnny Dare? He goes, I owe him this money. He gave it to the guy, and the guy gave it to me. I was like, and then we got back in touch. I'm like, 8 years later, how do you even remember? He goes, I never forget. He goes, I just didn't see you. I was like, you crazy bastard. That's and now awesome. He's sober. And as far as I know, he's never had a house. He's out traveling. He'll call from anywhere in the world. Sometimes in Costa Rica, sometimes in Australia, sometimes he's over in Europe walking, but he's always by himself and just out on a walkabout just to see what's going on.
Yeah, and love Lemmy. I met him at Lemmy's 70th birthday party at the Whiskey. Yeah,
I got pictures that night from Whitfield, and that's when you knew.
Yeah,
you could see he was so sick.
That's why that's why I went, because I'm like, I got to see my hero one more time. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like people talk about JFK or Elvis and like that. I can tell you, I was sitting down with my friend British Lee in Florida at a table, and it popped on my phone. And I mean, I literally got up from the table. I didn't cry, but I mean, I had tears in my eyes, like, because there'll never be another one.
No,
he was, and luckily we got to have him in for one show.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, so great. He looked at the girl I was dating, and he goes, you're my favorite. All right, listen, 8:45. When you want to go to bed and get sleep, you're free. If you want to stay, I'd love to keep you.
Cool.
You want to stay, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it. Come on. I'm ready. Please.
That was the least sincere. 15 degrees. Snowing. It happened. Yeah.
It is.
It's you know what? It's going to be a very light snow, people. Nikki, stop telling people that it's going to be horrible. There's a show tonight. Pop Evil's playing.
That's right.
It'll be
Don Jameson is there.
It'll be over by then. They'll be able to come back out of the house with their loaves of bread
and their
boxes
milk.
Of wine. Whatever the case is, well, it'll be fine.
It's going to be a great show tonight, man. I'm excited. Three or four bands. So is it one band and then you and then Pop?
So I don't know if there's a local band or not, but
it could be a local opener today. I think it was the
just head there now.
The contest thing. Contest winners.
That's right. Just go now.
Be Legendary.
Yeah. So it's a good time to get in line.
Yeah. Tell me about Be Legendary. I know the video just came out, but I saw a cool electric scooter and a bass and a drum and an amplifier, like an orange, right?
Yeah, orange amps. Like we're doing this whole contest where on this tour we've had different bands open up for us that have submitted videos of them covering that song, Be Legendary.
Nice.
So we'll get like, you know, we'll have them tag it and their links and their social media. And we went through, watched all the videos, picked a winner for each city to come out and play and open for us. And at the end of it, we're supposed to pick like one big winner, you know, who did the best job. And, you know, they get a whole like, you know, some drum kit stuff and, you know, orange amps. And
man, why do bands, so few bands do that anymore? Because that to me is the great thing, the interaction with the people who love them so much. Why wouldn't you do that? I see, all I see is like people, rich people can go backstage, meet Metallica if you have $2,500.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and which is great, good for you if you have it. But man, yeah. I mean, to me.
You got $8,000, you can have Paul Stanley's underwear.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's it. And it just, when they first put them on sale for Kiss here, $5,000 a seat for the first.
Wow.
I'm like, Way to remember the fans, Gene.
Yeah.
You didn't have it. So you're broke, are you?
Gene? We're doing it for the fans. Ticket prices start at $5,700.
It's been awesome. I remember, you know, even in Jersey, when we played Starland, there's this band of young kids that came out, and they had, you know, these backup singers and stuff like that, like all really young kids.
Wow.
And, you know, we bring them backstage before they're set and kind of talk to them a little bit, give them a little pep talk and,
well, yeah,
you know, do photos
matters,
with them,
man.
And stuff.
It really matters.
You know, they took the time to go out of their way and do actual work to learn a song, post it, you know, put some effort into it. It's like, man, awesome. Cool.
Well, even on a lesser level, like if a guy like you talks to a young band and talks to him like a real peer, it gives them the confidence to go, I could be in this. Like, there's no reason I can't do this. Why not me?
Right.
Because that's the thing, right? At the beginning, you can go, and it's so easy to give up. You're like, we'll never make it. We'll never get a deal. We'll never go on tour. We just, you know, because it's hard to find the right players in a band. Then it's hard to write a song. Then it's hard to get it heard. Then it's hard to get it signed.
Yep.
So it's easy to quit.
Yeah. It's always easy to quit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, when guys like you take time and talk to a kid, like we were talking about the guys in Ugly Kid Joe. Listen, it was important to me in the long run that those guys were so nice early on because they treated Greg and I like peers, and that made us feel like, well, maybe we should do this. I can be a part of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a big deal, man.
You know, a lot of people stuck their hand out for us when we were up and coming, and you know, it's about time we do that for others too.
Have you? Because you guys have been a band now. When did the first record come out?
2008.
So you're talking about a decade in. You must have met bands that were not signed, seen them get signed, and become. Since then.
Absolutely.
Like guys like you knew and you met them and you're like, oh, good luck, kid. I hope you get it. And then you're like, you got it.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is like we came out around the same time as Hailstorm. You mentioned them earlier. And the first show that we ever did together, it was mom and dad, RV, you know, that whole thing. And you know, they're opening up for us. And now, you know, 10 years later, they've far surpassed us. And it's cool to see like another band that came out around the same time and what they've done with themselves.
Well, and I think they're
pretty amazing.
Like you guys, their heart's in the right place, man.
Oh yeah.
You know,
there's a reason why they say Hailstorm nice.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's a term.
Dude, it's real. I was just in New York, and it was over Thanksgiving, and I realized they were playing at the Hammerstein. And so I just sent a text and she's like, are you kidding me? And then we went back to say hello, and I kept trying to disengage from Joe and Lizzie because there was everybody there, and she's like, no, stay. And I'm like, we're gonna get out of your way. No, and we went for an hour and a half, like just wonderful people, man.
Great people.
Oh, yeah. And like comedians with you. Have you met some of the your heroes?
I mean, you know, Dice, of course, you know, who I toured with for 10 years. But, you know, that's the guy that got me to go on stage. I love Dice, you know. He built this character that was, you know, he was the first comedian to fill arenas, you know. And now you see guys like Bill Burr and Louis C.K., Sebastian Maniscalco, and they're all doing arenas now, man. And it was like that was the first guy that combined being a rock star with a comic.
Dude, and, two albums, I remember.
Yeah.
Kinnison and Dice. Mm-hmm. And worked at a little record store when I was 15. These were the filthiest, most wrong things. I felt like I discovered a new drug. Because you didn't even imagine people could do it like that, and especially Dice.
Right, and the fact that he likes me and, you know, digs what I do and let me go out and put me in front of all his crazy crowds, you know, that's part of the reason I can do this with a rock band. Is like I've learned that from opening for Dice. Like if I don't get to that microphone before the first person yells out, "You effing suck,"
right?
I'm dead. But if I can get there and get that first joke out and get the laugh, then other people are like, "Okay, this might be all right."
Yeah, Dice is legend, man.
Yeah,
I mean, genuine legend. He for a while he was calling the show just intermittently without. And not that he wasn't always welcome, but he wouldn't even be invited, and he had the hotline number. All of a sudden, he'd call, and you're like. Is Andrew Dice calling the phone again?
Mm-hmm.
And but he was such he's such a great character, man.
And now look at his career. Now he's doing everything he wanted to do back then. Now, you know, he's Stars Born.
Yeah,
you know, he's
that plays that manager. Yeah, right.
He plays Lady Gaga's dad.
Her dad. That's right.
Yeah.
But he is He's the shining example. If you stay, and Henry Winkler told us this the other day, and he said it at his Emmy, or his was it an Emmy he won? Yeah.
Yeah.
If you stay at the table long enough, the cards will come to you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he had to go really big, live through it, and come back again. Dee Snider.
Yep.
Dee is another one, man. I mean, he doesn't get lower than his low. Like, he went from being the biggest rock star in the world to being a pedal courier in New York City. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know it took a turn like that.
Oh, yeah. He was a messenger.
And he literally lost everything. Not because of drugs, not because of alcohol. He doesn't drink or do drugs. Same wife. Twisted Sister took a couple. Be Cruel to Your School is maybe the worst idea I ever heard.
Well, yeah.
And I loved it.
And he got Alice Cooper to sing on it. But, you know, that's what Dee said when he did that metal show. He's like, I, you know, got to the top. I had number one hits. And then I was completely broke. And he goes, and I didn't have drugs and alcohol to blame it on.
No.
Because I did that all on my own. I did that totally sober.
Yeah.
I screwed everything up.
And he came back. He started to do morning radio. And, you know, he knows, because he knows, be honest and say what you, even if it makes people mad, be honest. Don't be a hypocrite, be honest. And I remember he put out those Balzacs. Remember that? He had a scary faces. You put a balloon inside. He had a little toy. A lot of people don't know that.
No.
Put out the movie.
Strangeland.
Strangeland, yeah.
And, just you name it.
He's a survivor.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. And, you get to meet those guys along the way. Like, it's brilliant. Like, it's really fun to watch those guys, because you can root for guys like him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the guy in Buck Cherry, who I'd like to kick in the dick most of the days. So, and by the way, I'm the only one who said that. That has nothing to do with anybody else in the show today. But let's just pretend there's a fictitious singer.
Sure.
You'll meet him, and I go, man, why are you such a miserable twat? Like, you're everything you wanted. You're a miserable twat. Like, but everything, like, it's a labor to say hello to anybody. It's a labor to do an interview. Oh, my God. And just go, you can quit. Man, I'm sure there's a store or a hobby that you could go do for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
If you don't love this anymore. You know, I was telling somebody about your challenge coins that you make for the military that you pay for out of your own pocket.
Yep.
I was talking to Richard Marcinko about him and Jim Weston and Gary O'Neill, who's probably the greatest Army Ranger that ever lived. So we're at dinner and everybody's handing out coins. And I go, I have a friend. And I go, he does it only for people in the military when he sees them in the audience. And it's just a private moment between you and them.
Yep, that's right. Or meet and greets or anything like that.
How did that start? And explain to me how that happened. So,
yeah, you know, a lot of my family's been in the military in different branches. And early on, we started playing shows, and we did a handful of one-off things for the troops. You know, we'd go play like the Naval Academy stuff, and you know, the Marines would have this thing called Sand Jam that they do at Camp Lejeune, and you know, we get coined. And it was the first time that I had been coined, even though I know members of my family had done that. And it's such a huge honor, because it's like they're accepting you, saying, you know, you are one of us. You know, we had to earn this. This is earned, and we're giving you one because we appreciate what you're doing. I just got the idea, like, you know, when these guys do this, I want to be able to give something back. And then it turned into a thing where, you know, I would initiate it, or someone would come through, meet and greet, and say, you know, they'd have like a veteran hat on or anything like that. You know, and I'd say, hey, you know, did you serve? You know, what branch? Oh, okay, cool. Well, hey, man, thank you for your service. And, you know, palm them a coin.
How special is that? Like, I mean, to me, it's such a one, like, it's nothing you can buy. It's nothing that most are ever going to know about, because if you're not handed it to you, it's generally on a radio show not even talked about. But I mean, I think to me, if I was a guy and I'm a fan now, I went super nuclear fan.
Yeah, it's just an acknowledgement, you know, like respect of, hey, man, I can't do the job that you're doing, and I appreciate the fact that you're doing it.
See, bass player extraordinaire,
I know.
Chess master, Rubik's Cube master,
Dirty Jesus.
Builds motorcycles, builds guns, and now he makes his own coins.
Oh, no, it never ends.
It doesn't end.
I hope his back doesn't hurt from dragging that giant penis around.
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
Oh, no. You do know he has a charity. No,
that's why we have Shelby with us, the tour manager.
You know he has a charity where he takes sick kids across the country in tour buses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's over. Now it's over for the rest of us.
Oh, it's going really well, by the way. Man, we had a killer year in 2018.
That's great, man.
And helped, I think our total was like 76 different families, but a lot of them with multiple rides, you know, like 30, 40 rides a piece for some families. And 2019 is off to a screaming start.
If you guys don't understand, how can they find out about the charity?
StarTreatments.org.
And what it is look, you may not live next to the hospital that gives the treatment that you need. And, you know, this is a big country. And so the kids will be sick. People will be sick. And it's so hard on them to travel. These buses, you can put a nurse on. They can travel with their family. Everybody can be comfortable. And, man, imagine if you're a kid with going through cancer treatment, you know, waiting for, you know, a new organ transplant, like how frail you are as a child. And the idea, you can't take the pain away. You can't, you know, we're not doctors, but you can offer them comfort. And I think that's an incredible gift.
Yeah. You know, we send them off in tour buses or party vans, yeah, Sprinter vans, limos, anything just to give them a cool treatment.
Yeah.
You know, on their way to get their treatments done. And, you know, we stock them full of goodies and snacks, whatever the kid's into, care packages.
Do you give guns to the children?
We give guns to the kids, yeah. No bullets. They got to buy those themselves. Yeah. Just guns.
It's a charity, but for God's sake.
Okay. Yeah, come on, man.
Johnny, you always find a way to make me feel much worse about myself
after I
leave than when I came in.
I feel that way. Are you kidding me? I hang out.
I do nothing productive. I write fart and penis jokes.
You once stole some flowers from a grave.
Grave.
Yeah, I gave them to your girlfriend. Yeah.
It's recycling.
He also have you, I'm sure at this point, Mattis has learned the upper decker, which you invented and perfected.
Yeah, but we can't do that on the tour bus.
He's got great form.
No.
It's all bombs. Those vegetables.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Since we've known each other, have you always been
vegan? Oh, yeah. 26 years.
I had no
not
idea.
Vegan, vegetarian. Vegans are pussies. Gotta have some fun in life.
Dude, they do get awfully tense about everything, don't they?
Yeah.
My friends who are vegetarian, they're just vegetarian. Like, yeah. They're just like, that's just, I just feel better.
I'm vegan.
Yeah, you're like,
come, I have some cheese, bitch.
You stole the milk. Yeah. You stole the milk. Yeah, that's the MeToo movement.
Yeah, MeToo. Wow.
Yeah. You know what? That was a fairly decent joke. I expect to hear that at some point perfected.
I'm opening with that tonight.
All right, then.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, it's already 9 o'clock. All right, I'm not going to punish you guys with this anymore. The show's going to be great tonight. The Truman.
Yep.
It'll be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait. I'll be there for sure. And for you as well. And I, in fact, I want to see the opening band. So
yeah, see them evils there. And, you know, you're talking about mentoring a young band. I mean, these guys are hungry, man. They're driving around in a 70 shaggin' wagon that believe makes it to the next gig.
And they're following the bus. They're like,
yeah, they have
you know
no
what?
Heat.
It's important to have a goal, man. You got to see it. Like, and again, you know, it's, I mean, you see a band, it comes too easy. They never last.
Yeah.
You gotta get dirt on you. It's gotta suck. You gotta
build character, man.
As crazy as that sounds, man, that's where your next great song comes from.
Yep.
You know, it's your life just has to suck a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where all the great material comes from.
Yeah, and how will you ever appreciate how great you have it today if it didn't suck yesterday?
Yep.
I mean, that's
100%.
You and what about you? Are you mentoring any young ladies on the road?
No, I'm mentoring one at home, mm-hmm. which is good.
All right.
I had a couple day break in this tour. We played in Jersey, so I got to.
Oh my God, the pent up frustration. Semen.
I put it right through the roof.
What's the rule about masturbating on the bus? Did you have to clear him on something? Like, hey man, just do it by yourself. Go somewhere else and do it. Like,
just close the curtain. That's all.
Yeah,
when you hear that thing snap, you know what's going on. If my curtain's snapping.
Now, did you get the bunk nobody wants?
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm on the top bunk, too. Yeah, but I haven't fallen out of mine yet.
Which would you say is the most? I like the middle, but the bottom's the middle's the one.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
That's it. Of course, Matt's in the middle because he makes coins and motorcycles.
He has a charity.
Yeah.
StarTreatments.org. It's always fun. It's always fun, man.
But it's great. You know what? I'd sleep on the floor to tour with these guys again.
It's the best. I can't tell how happy I am for you. Because, again, when you're a kid coming up, and I know how much you love metal, and from watching you on the metal show and becoming friends, like, this is it. This is what you dream of.
Well, listen, look, the cool thing is, man, I've been doing this now for years with bands, right? You know that.
Yeah.
You know, I play the comedy clubs and all that when I'm not doing this, but I love doing this, man. Like, again, with Dice, it was like Dice was a rock star on stage. Kinnison was a rock star. Wild Thing with Slash and everybody, right? Even Bobcat Goldthwait back in the day did the first Nirvana tour, man. He opened that tour. And then it was so not cool for, like, decades. And now it's coming back again, man. Me out with Pop Evil, Jim Brewer out with Metallica, Larry the Cable Guy's out with Styx. That's a party,
That's
man.
That's fantastic. Your guest still goes out and does stuff, man.
Yeah, man.
A wonderful guy, man.
So it's coming back around again, man, and the crowds dig it.
Well, it's good to see
something
you,
different. You too, brother.
All right, you guys, let's go blow something up. I got to stick here for another hour, but you guys, we'll get you some rest, man.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.